Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. I am your host for Locked On Grizzlies. Thank you so much for joining us. It's Tuesday, August 18th, and it is a landmark, benchmark, milestone, whatever word you want to call it. This is a big show in the history of this program. It is the 600th episode of Locked On Grizzlies, and that's just an amazing number to say, just an amazing statement to make. There have been now 600 episodes of Locked On Grizzlies that have been produced, and it's also a pretty big one if you did listen to yesterday's show. Obviously, this show began with Peter Edmonston, you know, a wonderful Grizzly source, a guy who covers the Grizzlies for The Athletic and Sports 56, just one of the best minds out there when it comes to Grizzlies basketball. He handed the show off to Mark King, who has obviously been been the host of the show over the past year. In 2 years, Mark did an unbelievable job, grew the show exponentially, provided great content, made the strength of this show being a source of different minds and perspectives that came on and gave, you know, you wonderful Grizzlies content and insight over the, you know, past couple of seasons. And now I am lucky enough and just thrilled to have a dream come true, in all honesty, to be the next host. You know, I did come on with Mark in April, but you know, with Mark moving on to other things, I am so thrilled and proud to have been able to you know, have this opportunity, and I'm just looking forward to making the most of it. That's what I'll say. My big thing that I can offer, my number one thing I can offer, is passion. It's not only passion for the Grizzlies and the NBA, but using this avenue to interact with others who enjoy the same passions as I do. And I'm just thrilled to, like I say, have this dream come true and, you know, have this opportunity. With Mark, you know, obviously, as he had stated, he moved on to other things. For the same reasons that Mark was able to grow this show and just do great things with it, there are other endeavors that he's been able to achieve success in. On top of that, he is a wonderful husband, a wonderful father, and so there were just other, in all honesty, more important things that he wanted to focus on in terms of what's going on in his life, and I couldn't be happier for him, and I truly understand and you know, obviously admire the reasons why he has moved on to those new things, so we wish him nothing but the best. But, you know, obviously, we're here, and so let's get to the reason why you're here, and that's to talk about the Grizzlies, and what we're going to do in this episode, you know, obviously, the offseason is here, but we're going to take a little bit of time and we're going to reflect how truly special this season was. But before we get back to the season that, you know, happened before the suspension back in March, I want to talk a little bit about the bubble, some observations that were there from how the Grizzlies performed in the bubble. We're going to talk about Taylor Jenkins in the first segment. In the second segment, we'll discuss the bench, you know, how they progressed, evolved over the bubble experience. And then obviously in the third segment, we'll discuss the starters. But let's get to Taylor Jenkins. Now, before this suspension, it was hard to really find anything that Taylor Jenkins did wrong. First coach of the month the Grizzlies had in 5 years. A roster full of players that reached levels of productivity nobody expected. That was my biggest takeaway from Taylor Jenkins. His ability to develop the talent on the roster from Ja Morant all the way down to the 9th or 10th guy off the bench was just unbelievable. It was very encouraging. And from an offensive standpoint, for this team to have gotten the offensive identity so quickly that so many of us had been hoping for years this team would eventually get, it was truly amazing to see and wonderful to see. So, to coach Taylor Jenkins could hardly do any wrong, obviously, before the season was suspended. And the result of that was the Grizzlies, you know, exceeding expectations and being in the bubble. Obviously, things are it's hard to say that the experience in the bubble met what happened before the season. However, a lot of that was out of Coach Taylor Jenkins, you know, control. Basically, the injury to Justice Winslow and Tyus Jones, two players who, in all honesty, I feel very few people realize just how important those players would be in time for the Grizzlies, but two players who, unfortunately, were just not available. And the Grizzlies started off against the Trailblazers. They were in position to win. Yes, they struggled off, you know, out of the gate in the first half, but Jenkins, led by the young core, Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark, Ja Morant, the connection between Clark and Morant was something that seemed to develop during the training camp and the scrimmages. They were able to lead us back into the game. And if Ja Morant does not slip, I think the Grizzlies do win that game in regulation, and I feel very strongly that right now, instead of doing this show about observing what happened in the bubble as the offseason begins, I feel right now I'm actually going to be giving you a preview of the Grizzlies-Lakers first game in their first-round matchup in the playoffs. But, you know, it wasn't meant to be. But in general, you know, in that first game, Jenkins put the Grizzlies in a position to win, you know, despite the losses that they had had. The biggest issue that I had with Jenkins, though, was in games 2 and 3. One of it was, you know, the energy that the Grizzlies came out with. When they finally put, you know, matched their abilities with their energy, they came back against both the, you know, against both the Pelicans and the Spurs. That Spurs game, there was no excuse. They should have beat the Spurs. They were the better team on the court. They just did not have that energy, that confidence in taking control of the game until it was too late, and it wound up costing them. Against the Pelicans, yes, they did come back, but that Pelicans game, it didn't really feel like the Grizzlies had much of a chance. And then, of course, obviously, the Jaren Jackson Jr. injury occurred, and after the Jazz game, in which they tried to tweak with some things. They had a great game against the Thunder, expectedly struggled against the Raptors and the Celtics, and then just played outstanding basketball against the Bucks and the Trailblazers. But a couple of things that come to mind, you know, was the energy starting out, you know, the shooting. The Grizzlies still were able to, you know, get off their 34 to 35 threes per game. But unfortunately, the Grizzlies were also, they were second to last in three-point shooting. They were among the last teams of the 22 teams in the bubble. They were one of the bottom five teams in both catch and shoot and pull-up shooting opportunities. So the Grizzlies' ability to shoot just was not there, and it caught up with them. A big reason why the Grizzlies lost a few of the games that they did is because other teams just hit threes, you know, at will against us, and we could not hit threes. That was a big takeaway from probably the first six to seven games in the bubble, was our inability to hit threes and our inability to keep other teams from hitting threes, especially late in the game, that cost us a lot. But beyond it, the perimeter play, another thing that I kind of, you know, didn't take issue with, but just an observation I felt could have been different, was the usage of Jonas Valanciunas. I don't think in those first three games Valanciunas was used as much as he could have been to be a mismatch for other teams, especially against the Spurs late, and also when the Grizzlies were able to you know, go to him in the third quarter against the Pelicans. It's something that they got away from despite it working. So the usage and the ability to create a mismatch with Jonas Valanciunas, the lack of that was a bit frustrating. And then, you know, besides the three-point shooting, besides Jonas Valanciunas, you know, there was the defense as well. The defense at times, yes, we finished fifth, I believe, in the bubble in defensive rating. But, you know, at times especially the first of the bubble, we could not stop teams from shooting the three. And also, if they got past the three-point line when we started focusing on it around the foul line and those mid-range games, you know, it was like, you know, if we tried to cover one area, there was a leak that the offense could easily expose, and we just could not get the stops we needed in a lot of those games. But a big key besides those weaknesses that came out to me, the biggest thing that I take away from the bubble and Coach Taylor Jenkins's defense is how he adjusted on each of those. Like I mentioned, our three-point shooting, the uses of Jonas Valanciunas, the defense, and the bench. Those were the four big concerns that we had through the first six or seven games of this, whether it was in Jenkins' control or not. But think about the adjustments that he made. In those last two games against the Bucks and the Trailblazers, Jonas Valanciunas played to a level that we had not seen him play in a while. That Bucks game, yes, consider the competition, but that Bucks game was one of the best games of his career. He led us in that first half against Portland and kept us in place and helped us gain the lead through his connection with Kyle Anderson in the game against Portland. The thing I'll say about Jonas Valanciunas is when we finally featured him, he did well and he made a difference. Our three-point shooting, even though we lost Jaren Jackson Jr. after the third game, we explored a little bit with Brandon Clark in the starting lineup against the Jazz, but then we switched from Tolliver in the starting lineup to Brandon Clark on the bench. And our three-point shooting, it got much better. We started doing things that put our roster, we started playing to the strengths of our roster, featuring corner threes, feature catching and shoot opportunities. Grayson Allen, Brandon Clark, Anthony Tolliver, Dylan Brooks, Ja Morant, all these guys got better, and we started making threes at a very successful rate because we were getting better looks as the bubble went on. The bench became advantageous. contagious. As players like Grayson Allen and DeAnthony Melton got into their grooves, Brandon Clark starting excelling again when he was back on the bench. And finally, the defense also made some stops. So that was the big takeaway for me. Yes, Taylor Jenkins is still a work in progress. There are still nuances to the game, like challenging and you know, his commitment to, you know, finding mismatches that work. All those things are a work in progress. But the fact that over a nine-game period against the competition that he played, while he did struggle more than many expected to start out in the bubble, the fact that he was able to adjust as time went on was a big key for me. And even if you want to sit there and point out, you know, hey, he was playing teams that weren't really at full strength, you know, I'll counter with the fact that, you know, he was playing with much less talent at his disposal than many thought, and he made the most of his situation at the end. I will say this about Taylor Jenkins. If you would have asked me a week ago how I felt about the bubble, it would have likely been a lot more negative perspective than how I feel now because of how well the Grizzlies played. Though it didn't work out with them getting the desired playoff appearance, they certainly played to the best of their abilities, and they certainly got much better as the bubble went on. And that's really all that you can ask of Jenkins with what he had at his disposal to help the Grizzlies succeed in the bubble. So overall, a positive opinion of Jenkins in the bubble. He again showed that he can make needed adjustments as time went on, and really excited as we go through the first offseason after a great debut season from him. Really excited to see what he can put in place for the future. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to discuss the bench pieces and what their play in the bubble could mean for them now on the Grizzlies and potentially more in this offseason. We'll be right back with you on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As an adult, we all have responsibilities. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Well, we've always relied on restaurants to have one less thing to worry about when we want to enjoy a tasty meal. You know, you've counted on restaurants before. Well, now in these unprecedented times, they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, take one less thing, give yourself one less thing to worry about. And why not go through DoorDash as a delivery option? DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants, like Wendy's and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LockedOnNBA. That's $5 off your delivery and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LockedOnNBA. Again, don't forget, that's code LockedOnNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So, like we discussed in the first segment, doing some bubble observations, we talked about Taylor Jenkins. We talked about how some of the struggles that were clearly there for the Grizzlies, some unexpected, some, you know, out of, you know, Jenkins' control. Jenkins, on each of those concerns, was able to get better as far as making adjustments, doing different lineup looks, and, you know, doing different schemes and strategies that just played to the Grizzlies' strengths of the roster that they currently had, of the options the Grizzlies had. I was very impressed with how Jenkins adjusted his strategies, lineups, and whatever you want to call it, to where he could feature the strengths of those options and make the most for the Grizzlies. And in the end, like we stated, it was a much more positive end to the bubble than I think many of us could have predicted even just a few days ago. Now we want to focus on the bench, and the reason why I want to devote a full segment to this is because that literally was something so many of us were excited to see. As I've stated before, I truly feel that the bench was one of the Grizzlies' true assets, where no matter who they were playing, it could be an advantage. And with the heightened level of competition, of talent that the Grizzlies would be facing in the bubble, it was something that they had hoped to rely on to obviously make up, you know, the potential talent difference. Well, unfortunately, that took a big hit when both Justice Winslow and Tyus Jones were taken out of the equation. We clearly saw the benefit that Tyus Jones offered as a Grizzlies player. Yes, you probably could name five or six more Grizzlies who are more individually valuable than Tyus Jones. But Tyus Jones' steady ability to be the general of our second unit and his great decision-making and historical efficiency, it was such an asset. It really amplified the abilities of a lot of Grizzlies players because he was so good at putting them in positions to succeed. Obviously, we saw how some of the Grizzlies struggle without him there. We saw De'Anthony Melton struggle. Without Justice Winslow, Kyle Anderson, for instance, he had to move into the starting lineup. He was a big part of our bench during the season. So those losses really put people into positions that they were not used to and also made people play in roles that they were not used to as well, especially, you know, even without Tyus Jones there. But the bench was a struggle at first. You know, I recall in that Spurs game, I believe that the Spurs outscored us 39-23. The Spurs bench outscored us 39-23, and it was frustrating because, again, just losing by 2 points to the Spurs, despite the lack of energy, despite the lack of execution that we had at first, the Spurs game easily could have been won if our bench just had played better. But the thing about it is this, is that even though the Grizzlies played 9 games, there was a substantial improvement in the Grizzlies bench when it comes to their performance. It once again became advantageous as the bubble progressed. And a big reason for that was the emergence of Grayson Allen. As we discussed last Friday's show, you know, and what would be the Grizzlies, you know, what would they be to their advantage against the Trailblazers? It was their bench. I stated that. And a big reason why is because if you had a sixth man of the bubble, I had mentioned Gary Trent Jr. I know we joked about it, but Gary Trent Jr. truly was a revelation in the bubble. But the Grizzlies had two, in my opinion, of the 5 best reserve players in the bubble. Brandon Clark was an obvious one. He was one of the best bench assets in the league this year. In my opinion, a legitimate sixth man of the year contender. But it was Grayson Allen who actually was, probably after Gary Trent, the best reserve in the bubble. For the bubble, Grayson Allen averaged 13.6 points. He shot 51% from the field, and he shot 48% from three. And that is Owen averaging 6 threes per contest. Grayson Allen's emergence off the bench, not only in terms of an efficient and effective player, but as a knockdown shooting option that this team sorely needs, obviously, from how much they struggled to shoot from the perimeter in the bubble. His emergence was a big revelation. It was great. Again, you may not want to look too much into the Grizzlies' performance in the bubble just because it was 9 games, but it's hard to deny how awesome he was. Brandon Clark was right there as well. His performance was on par with how he did during the regular season. In the bubble, he averaged 12.3 points. He shot nearly 60%. In the final couple of games, even though he struggled overall from three in the bubble, he made a big difference in his bubble performance, averaged 6.6 rebounds. So again, with Brandon Allen, just his normal efficient self, probably not as effective, not as impactful against this strong of competition that he faced in the bubble, but Brandon Clark was there for his usual 12 to 15 points a game. He truly made a difference against the Trailblazers. He stepped up the chemistry him and Jaw showed, you know, in the second half of games, and that went on the run. Brandon Clark really made an effective difference to get the Grizzlies back into games. All that was there, you know, as it had been. De'Anthony Melton certainly struggled to begin in the bubble. I mean, for the bubble, he averaged 4.4 points per game, only shot 27%, shot 13% from three. Offensively, De'Anthony Melton struggled. We could certainly see a step back in his offensive game without Tyus Jones being there. And that is something to consider, you know, obviously going forward. But we also did see a big reason why Melton is such a compliment to the offensive identity of this team. The difference-making ability that he offers on defense, and if he can sit there and create havoc on defense, for instance, his 6 steals in the Raptors game, if he can create havoc on defense, he's at his best on offense when he's in transition, he could really make a difference, especially in second units. When the defensive ability kind of goes down, the overall defensive ability kind of goes down, if you have someone like De'Anthony who can create havoc and lead to getting in transition plays and lead to turnovers, that right there is, again, another reason why our bench had been so effective and why DeAnthony Melton was always a name frequently among our best lineups. Though he struggled, Melton did show on plenty of, plenty of times in the bubble why he still is a very valuable asset. You know, Gorgui Dieng and others, they performed well as well. But the main group in that bench unit, Grayson Allen, Brandon Clark, DeAnthony Melton, they again showed why they were so valuable. And I think that it honestly is a couple of truths came to light, potentially for the future of the Grizzlies. One thing that I will say is that Brandon Clark, when you look at the numbers of him as a starter versus him as a bench, and you see how big of an asset he is to this bench, and why as the Grizzlies get closer to contention, a valuable bench, a productive bench is so important. I think that the bubble kind of proved the point that Brandon Clark should remain on the bench, should remain an X factor, just an absolute sixth man weapon on the bench going into next season. I think that's the first thing. The second thing is you see how important Tyus Jones is and how with him and Clark, that's a connection right there. That's a duo right there that very few other teams have in the NBA. So putting emphasis on Jones, getting him back to health, really allowing for him to have full control over that second unit is quite important. But a very interesting subject that I think is going to, we're going to provide a lot of content on this show and through other sources throughout, the Grizzlies Nation, is the talk about Grayson Allen and DeAnthony Melton. What does Grayson Allen's emergence, and we'll get into Dylan Brooks' struggles here in a bit, but what does Grayson Allen's emergence in the bubble mean for DeAnthony Melton's situation in the offseason? There is a variety of options that it could mean. But the thing is that at the end of the day, you love all these players back, and there's a good chance they are all back. But at the end of the day, adding Grayson Allen to the other pieces that we already have under control, Allen, Kyle Anderson, Brandon Clark, Gorgui Dieng, and Tyus Jones. Adding Allen to that equation, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing but good that can come from that. Even if it leads to, more creativity for the front office to have during the offseason, it still is a very good development. So that's a hat tip to Taylor Jenkins, but also to these players who, despite struggling to start off their time in the bubble, they definitely improved as time went on, and the emergence of Grayson Allen to add to what already was a strong unit is a wonderful development, especially for a team that needs shooting. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the starters and focus on a few things that the bubble revealed about our starting lineup that we could see changes to going forward. We'll be right back with you on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. The summer is here, the heat is up, and the likelihood of you probably going out of town or on vacation, especially in these unprecedented times, is also up as well. Of course, with all that being said, it's the most inopportune time for you to have car trouble, and as most of us know, that's exactly what's going to happen. Well, the thing I can tell you is that I may not know how to fix your car, but I do know where you can go to get the car parts you need, and that's rockauto.com, and for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's easy to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you're going to have exactly what you need, and you'll be able to get it and get it delivered to you quickly. Second reason is that it's going to have what you need. Rockauto.com has a wonderful selection of many of the parts you'll need for many of the makes and models that you might have. Third reason is that it's very easy and very versatile to use as a source, no matter what level of repairman you may be. Someone like me who's got to get others to do the repairs, you do it yourself, or if you're someone that does it for a living, rockauto.com is a wonderful source. The final thing is that the reason why they're so good is because they're affordable. This is a family-owned business. They know that a lot of times car parts are outside of people's budgets, so they try to make them as cost-effective as possible. The thing about Locked On is when you go there, let them know that you went there because of hearing about them on the Locked On episode that you typically listen to. Whatever Locked On show you use, let rockauto.com know that's why you came. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today and let them know that Locked On sent you. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So, we've talked a little bit about Taylor Jenkins, how he did in the bubble, how he fared. We talked about the bench, how it went from an unfortunate liability in the Grizzlies games that they really needed to win to being an asset that was there and made this team play much better than anticipated at the end of the bubble. But the third segment, we're going to talk about the starters. And, overall, I really think that the starting lineup outside of Dylan Brooks did quite well. And even Dylan did, quite well. I mean, at the end of the day, if you were told back on July 30th that Dylan Brooks, through nine games in the bubble, would average 20.1 points and 20.1 points, shooting 44% from the field, you probably would have taken that. That is better numbers than he had during the season. However, though, if you actually watch the games, you know that those final numbers are a bit misleading because they're in no way, shape, or form a representation of consistency or stability. They are a representation of two different extremes. For instance, he shot 28.3% from three. And of course, also, as we discussed, there were so many wasted opportunities. I think I went back over some highlights, and Dillon Brooks himself probably had 30 to 40 wasted opportunities in this bubble because of forcing shots or just bad decisions that really cost the Grizzlies. If the Grizzlies could have 10 of those possessions back, again, we might be talking about them playing their first game of the playoffs tonight. But, you know, not going to harp too much on that. At the end, though, Dillon Brooks did show one thing. When he is on, the Grizzlies become a significantly better team. Now, the thing that I think was revealed about Dillon Brooks, though, in this bubble, is that ideally long-term for the Grizzlies, over the next 3 years in which he's under contract, his best role is being added to the bench. That's why, in all honesty, and I won't get too much into it, we'll get to it as the offseason goes on, that's why I think with the bubble revealing that Grayson Allen should be a part of the Grizzlies' future plans, and Dillon likely is most effective off the bench, I think you may see D'Anthony Melton more expendable, partially because of the fact that the Grizzlies likely will see Brooks as a bench piece. We'll bring all these guys back more than likely, but I do think this bubble revealed that while Dillon Brooks could be a starter, he's best as a bench piece. The other thing that I'll say is this, is that I think the bubble also displayed why this team focused so much on getting Justice Winslow. Look at what the Grizzlies struggled with in the bubble. Secondary playmaking, production on the perimeter, and also just someone who could create. All those things were missing, and those are all things that Justice Winslow can provide. Now, as I've stated, it's going to be hard to trust Justice at this point. He, in my opinion, he's to the point now to where he's injury prone. Hopefully he comes back next year, performs, and is a big reason why the Grizzlies are in playoff contention again. But, at the very least, if healthy, we do see the reason why the Grizzlies targeted him was to help out in minimizing some of the weaknesses that were obviously on display in the bubble. But the big thing that I'll take away from the bubble is this, is that just like Tyus Jones was important to the bench, I think that you need to certainly consider Jonas as a big cog for this team going forward. Again, in playoff basketball, I know that his value probably lowers. I know that Taylor Jenkins probably wants to prefer going with smaller lineups. They can get on the run and shoot from three. But Jonas is a mismatch for this offense. He truly is. Not only that, he gives them a rebounding presence, which limits the opportunities for the other teams. So Jonas does have a big value for this team. And just like Dillon, when he is featured, this team plays better. And that's the thing that I'll say, is that if you're not going to use Jonas that much, I do think that the Grizzlies probably could do a better job of knowing which spots to feature him in, because he can be a down-low mismatch for a lot of teams. But of course, the biggest thing for the Grizzlies is the play of Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. And before he got hurt, Jaren Jackson Jr. just seemed like I think there have been moments in which you've really seen him play confidently, but he truly felt like he knew how much of a difference maker he could be at the start of this bubble. That Portland game where he took over at times and late in the Spurs game, it was amazing to see. Whatever opinion you have of Jaren, he truly was able to show that he can be an offensive force and a difference maker on both ends of the court. He showed on a couple of occasions where he made a great defensive play and then got down the court and made the offensive play. He can be a huge source of momentum swings going forward. And the thing about it is that he brings a needed source of shooting to this team, even to the point of creating his own shot. So all those things were on display. If Jaren can truly become a reliable 20 to 25 point option per night, which he showed he was capable of in the few games that he played in the bubble, I think that's a big development for this team. And then finally, Ja Morant. Now, here's the thing about it. Ja Morant, he struggled in the bubble. He only shot 22% from three. He shot 39% from the field, which was 10 full percentage points lower than what he did in his time during the regular season. But just like you saw others, just like you saw Taylor Jenkins adjust, Dillon adjust, other player, D'Anthony Melton adjust, Ja did the same thing. He went through the bubble. Teams adjusted to him. They made him struggle. When the Pelicans game comes to mind, there were times when Ja just was not offering a lot of offensive productivity. But in those final few games against the Celtics and the Bucks and the Portland Trailblazers, Ja truly showed that when he was on the court, he was one of the two or three best players on that court. He was the big reason why the Grizzlies were in that Portland game, and he was a big reason why they were able to seal the deal against the Bucks. Yes, he made mistakes, but Ja Morant showed that on the biggest stages, he could play to his strengths, he could improve in terms of his shooting, and he could make things happen even when he wasn't scoring through his passing and other things. I think over the final three games, when you look at the points he scored plus the points that he was responsible for through assists, Ja himself averaged nearly 50 to 60 points a game in terms of his contributions. Yeah, it's not the same as Dame scoring 50 points a game, but still, that type of production is a big boost for the Grizzlies' offense. So again, disappointing outcome for the Grizzlies in the bubble, but I think a lot of improvement. I think that, yes, it's you can be correct in both statements. The first statement in saying that the Grizzlies themselves overall, they showed why they were expected to be a lottery team going into this year. But they also showed why they are one of the most exciting teams with one of the most exciting futures in the NBA with how well their young players played, especially their young superstar in the making in Ja Morant. So like I stated, you know, if you would have asked me a week ago my observations of the bubbles, this show probably would have been completely different. And the reason why is because, you know, of how frustrating the Grizzlies played at times. But for them, over their final two games, to come out in stages where they had to perform, they simply did it. And they didn't look back. They did it with confidence. And they had fun doing it. And that's the exact type of demeanor you want from this team. And when they get the Winslows and the Joneses and the Jaren Jackson Juniors back, just think of how much more talented this team is going to be. And if they can play with the same confidence and fun they showed to close out the bubble, the future is extremely bright for this Grizzlies team, even more so than we may have thought previously. Thank you so much for taking time to join us here in the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, my name is Sean Coleman. We will have some special guests coming up over the next few days. We're really going to dive into the lottery. Again, I know a lot of people haven't really, that hasn't been on their mind because they just thought that we would automatically convey if we made the playoffs. Well, now, since we didn't, there is a minuscule chance the Grizzlies will have a very impactful lottery night. And of course, as we all know, that is a huge reason from the past 2 years why we are where we are. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.